KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media Station, ESPN, 97.5.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ramel Kyoto now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Kingsport is the place to be. 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Rooftop deck is spectacular. Get down there. KingsportTXHouston.com. Go say hello to Jay. It was his birthday recently. Now, the other big one going on this weekend, the 20th. Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and down. Legendary clubs, legendary players. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Bayern Munich coming in with players like Leon Goretzka, Boateng, Robert Lewandowski, Thomas Müller, Manuel Neuer, Sergio Ramos, Karim Benzema for Real Madrid, and some young talents, too, that are looking to identify themselves. So it's time to do a little Real Madrid, Bayern Munich talk. We bring in David Fletcher of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. David, I know it's well over 50,000. This is going to be quite the spectacle and another huge moment in Houston soccer history.
As it should be, Glenn, and appreciate all your help in supporting soccer and certainly this event. It's been a great summer of soccer here in Houston between CONCACAF Gold Cup, two sold-out venues for that last month, and then real opportunity on Saturday night to truly see some of the best in the world. You mentioned it, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, going to be quite a night of stars. On what is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, the stars will not just be down at Johnson Space Center that night. They'll be here bright and shining at NRG, and we're really looking forward to this matchup. Two unbelievable brands, loaded rosters, the ICC, the International Champions Cup, this event is part of that, and it's really grown into the preeminent soccer event in the start of the season or the preseason, this will be arguably the best matchup of the tournament.
David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, have been putting on huge international matches over the years. We've had some amazing moments out at Energy Park. What I'm getting a lot of questions, David, is fans, hey, is there access to go and see Real Madrid, Bayern Munich train? Is there any of that? Are they making any of their players available to the public?
Well, they both get in very late, and that's part of the challenge with tournament action this time of year. So this will be the first stop for Real Madrid. They're playing here, then in D.C., and then in New York on the North American tour. But they will not be getting into town until match day minus one. So limited exposure there for Real. Bayern is playing in Carson, out in California, to start their ICC event, and then they'll be coming into Houston. So really your best opportunity, Glenn, is to come out here on event day, but we've got a full event, a full day of activities. Your fan fest will start out here at 4 o'clock. Tons of former players and great fan-related activities out here at NRG Stadium, and then the match itself will be kicking off at 7 o'clock. Going to be a global audience on the ESPN family of networks, so a real opportunity to showcase not only the great play on the field, but our great city and on a worldwide stage. And I can promise you there will be a number of celebrities, local and otherwise, here for the match. As we saw in 2017 when we had the Manchester Derby here as part of ICC, Houston definitely likes to show up for big events, and I'm gonna tell you right now, we've seen a lot of interest from players and others that want to come out and see these two great teams play against each other.
David, thank you so much, and continued good work with Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. I think this is going to be a wonderful weekend. Again, another defining moment here with all these huge international games, and you said it. Two teams with incredible history, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, squaring off at Energy Park on the 20th, this coming weekend. Ticketmaster.com. David, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, that's David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. Right now we'll take a Kings Court break. Again, Kings Court in downtown, KingsCourtTXHouston.com. Great food, staff, selection, British pub and Indian food, KingsCourtTXHouston.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, don't forget, my good friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. If you're in the market for a BMW, go down there, lease or own one from Advantage BMW. Great selection of vehicles down there. I drive one. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll cover you from sales, service, into finance, and it can be done so easy. AdvantageBMWHouston.com, and then go down there and say hello to my friends, Philip and Justin. Those are the guys. They love soccer. They love football. Speaking of a guy who loves soccer and loves football, analyst with Atlanta United. You know him from radio, TV appearances as well. He is Jason Longshore. He joins us now. Jason, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, Glenn.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, and it's always interesting to get a gauge on Atlanta United. So I guess we start off by just kind of going into, look, this team wins the MLS Cup last year, 72,000 people at the final. You've got basically a savior in Tata Martino. You've got this superstar who became a superstar in Atlanta. Miguel Almiron goes to the Premier League, and all of a sudden you lose those two guys. It's sort of a rebuild now. It's a different playing style under a very well-known manager, Frank de Boer, and then in comes the talented South American Pity Martinez. So kind of take us into what the transition's been like, and also take us into how the fan base has reacted as well, with as many fans as we know that continue to go to Atlanta United games.
Wow, it's crazy. Being along for the ride, you kind of forget about how much things have changed in 2019 for Atlanta United. I don't think the playing style was intended to be as different as it has been. Frank de Boer's had some difficult challenges, some that you kind of know you're going to have when you're coming off of an MLS Cup championship, and others, injuries and things that have made things a little more complicated. The compressed off season, and then day one of training, you lose Franco Escobar, you're starting right back. And Frank de Boer, in the early going, was playing in a 3-4-3. He had told us initially that he wanted to play out of a 4-3-3. That was what he had in mind. He wasn't locked into it, but that was kind of from looking at the roster and looking at the way the team played and the way he wanted them to play. It's where his head was on day one of training camp. And then you lose Escobar in your first session. He didn't feel like he had an adequate right back to replace it and play four. So it was a 3-4-3. It didn't really work. You also had a difficult CONCACAF Champions League draw with Herediano from Costa Rica. You went down there in game one and lost, came back, won the second match convincingly. Then you get Monterrey, and Monterrey ends up winning the thing. And I think in hindsight, Atlanta played Monterrey as well as anybody else did in the competition. The only team to take a 90-minute win in the second leg at Mercedes-Benz, but it wasn't enough to overturn the 3-0 loss there. Injuries have been a big story, I think, for Atlanta United this season. They have been for a lot of teams. I mean, Atlanta's not alone in that, but they haven't had their intended back four for one game this season. George Bello, the 17-year-old, was expected to start. He started that first game in Costa Rica and was injured and hasn't played since. Franco Escobar came back after the first month. He's been up and down pretty good for the majority of the season. Recent form has slipped a little bit. And it's felt like a lot of plug and play across the back line. And for a team that wants to play in the way that Frank de Boer intends, which is going to be possession dominant, a lot of building up out of the back, all those changes on the back line have had an effect. I think when the team's had its consistency in that run of matches in May where they had a very good record, they controlled matches, and they didn't give up many chances, and they controlled possession and created chances. And Joseph Martinez started to get hot. since the international break, Atlanta struggled to get any control of matches. They felt very 50-50, very chaotic. It was a good match in Seattle over the weekend, but Atlanta wasn't good enough in the key moments in the match. A couple turnovers, and you lose 2-1 at CenturyLink Field.
Was that the problem there, saying controlling matches? I mean, obviously, De Boer wants the ball because he can manage games with possession in typical Dutch style. Was that down to just technical breakdowns, unforced errors, weren't passing the ball well, not moving well? What was that about?
Yeah, it's a good question, because the two players who made the mistakes and had the turnovers in your final, in your defensive third, are Julian Gressel and Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, two of your better players on the ball. Gressel maybe a little too aggressive in his moment, and full credit to Raul Ruiz Diaz for one of the goals of the season after taking full advantage of it. The end up, what ended up being the match winner, Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, it's just a simple giveaway. And tired leg. Oh, sorry, Glenn.
What kind of dog you got there, by the way? Tell me, you know, now, if your dog barks, you have to identify the name of the dog and the breed. And it has to happen right now. What is it, Jason?
Gwen is a Labrador and Bulldog mix, and she's very vocal from time to time.
Okay, you're going to have to send us a picture of your dog. We're dog lovers here at Soccer Matters. All right, so let's carry on, and Gwen might have been upset at something you said there.
Gwen's a big Leandro Gonzalez-Pires fan. And
came to his defense.
He had a rough day. He had a big mistake in a big moment. He didn't pass well in the match. It's a lot of games in a short period of time, and with the injuries Atlanta's had, they haven't really been able to give Leandro and Miles Robinson, your two center backs who've had very good years, you haven't been able to give them days off. Florentin Pogba came in, looked like he was going to be an option to relieve some of that pressure. He gets injured. Michael Parkhurst has had to play everywhere on the back line, right, left, and middle, and he's pretty gassed at the moment, so it adds up, and these mistakes happen.
Jason Longshore joining us, analyst for Atlanta United. And Atlanta United this year coming into this match with the Houston Dynamo, 9-8-3. Home performances, how have they been at home? I know you haven't conceded a lot of goals at home, so that's a positive, right?
Yeah, it was good at home before the international break. Very good at home. They were on an unbelievable streak of matches with clean sheets. But then you come back with the high-profile game, maybe the first half of the season with the New York Red Bulls coming in, and it lived up to the hype. But it's a 3-3 where Atlanta looks to find the match winner in stoppage time to Joseph Martinez and a great ball from Franco Escobar, and then a defensive lapse. And it's not really one player you can single out. It's three, four different guys who just lose their focus deep in stoppage time and leave Bradley Wright Phillips completely unattended around the penalty spot. And we all know you cannot leave a player unmarked in that moment. He's going to bury you, and he did. And it's 2 points dropped. And when you look at Atlanta United over the last couple of months, you can point to 5 points that have been dropped late in matches. And as we know, as tight as the Eastern Conference is this season, those 5 points could mean the difference between hosting or going on the road in the single-game playoffs.
Jason Longshore joining us, Atlanta United. So let's talk about a couple of things. This team has gotten different based on two differing managers. I mean, obviously, Tata Martinez, what we loved about him was he was playing forward. He wants to play through lines. He wants to get going. He wants to play it forward. We're seeing him do that with Mexico. He does that beautifully with Miguel Almiron. Almiron has this wonderful relationship with Josef Martinez. Now let's compare that to the Pitti Martinez, Josef Martinez relationship. How do you think that has gone?
Yeah, two very, very different players to link up with Josef Martinez. Miguel, you know, you want to get him into space. You want to let him transition and get out on the run. Pitti wants to play with the ball at his feet. He's not a fast player, but he's an unbelievably skilled player in the 1v1. And he's a player that can pull off things that you just don't expect. That's a very different thing for a player like Josef Martinez and the others around him to get used to, because it is unexpected. And there's a lot of things about the way Pitti plays that is unconventional. I think Pitti, the criticism of him has been harsh, because I think a lot of the comparisons have been to Miguel Almiron, who's just a completely different kind of player. I honestly can't think of a player I've seen like Miguel Almiron with such game-breaking speed and ability on the ball to maintain that speed. I mean, it's a game changer, and opponents have to deal with it, and that creates space. against a player like Pitti and with a team like Atlanta now that isn't quite as vertical and wants to build up possession and wants to get forward in an organized way, it's a little slower. And you're able to deal with some of that movement off the ball. I think what Frank DeBoer is working through, and it's been a process, I think you're starting to see Joseph drop deeper and get more involved in the buildup. And in Seattle, that was a big focal point of the match. I thought it was really effective because it starts to create space in a different way because he's pulling center backs with him. And when you get Ezequiel Barco and Tito Villalba back, or you get Justin Merrim in the form he's in right now, and they can start to exploit that space, making those overlapping runs, you're creating the space, but in a different way. It just hasn't been consistent this season.
He's Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. All right, so let's talk, and you hit the nail on the head there with tempo. It's very, very different. And let's go back to Pity Martinez in comparison with Miguel Almiron. Does your fan base understand the difference? Do they understand that with Pity Martinez, the game is going to look different the way Atlanta plays it as opposed to what was there last year, which was an unbelievably attractive product, a tough thing to live up to. But do they understand that part of it, that he is a different player?
It's taken a little bit of time because it is very different. I think Tata Martino's style with this team was very easy for both established fans and new fans to grab onto because it's pretty simple, the idea behind it. You want to get vertical, you want to play in the other team's half, and you want to do that as fast as possible. I think Frank DeBoer wants to play in the other team's half as well, but there's more wrinkles to it, and especially the organization part of it. And it's something that has been a bit of a, I think, a learning process for the fan base, and not everyone has accepted it. I think a lot of fans, you know, look back and say, well, why can't you play faster? And the conversation always goes, when you look at Atlanta United in the past, they had some of the same defensive breakdowns, probably bigger breakdowns, in previous years than they do now. And even Tata Martino was moving last season towards a little safer style, trying to find a little more balance. And he wanted to have a little more possession last year. And in the postseason, there was a dramatic difference in the way Atlanta United played. They went from wanting to dictate the play to wanting to play strictly on the counter. And that was very different, I think, threw a lot of teams for a loop. Frank DeBoer and his style, it's not as easy, I think, to get at first glance. It's not as easy for fans to realize all the different things that go into it. And when you take that and you combine it with the schedule that MLS has had this season and how compressed it's been and how many road trips Atlanta's had and how many times they've went, you know, back and forth across the country in a week, you're losing training time. You're losing time on the pitch. So I don't think the style and the system has hit its heights yet. I just don't think there's been enough time on the training pitch to do that. And it's not as sharp as it should be. When it's good, I think it's very good. But you see breakdowns at times and you see indecision at times, which is something you're not used to seeing with Atlanta United.
How has Pity Martinez handled the press? And is this a team that's played through him effectively? I mean, obviously he's a primary playmaker. You want him on the ball in the attacking areas of the field to make plays. Have they played and integrated him as far as his teammates the way one would like?
I think they're still kind of figuring out how to do that. And one key element of it that has thrown everything out of whack this season is Ezequiel Barco's emergence first. And I think Atlanta United was playing its best right before he left for the Argentina squad at the U-20 World Cup, where he had a very good tournament, turned a lot of heads. Came back, and first game back, he played in the U.S. Open Cup round of 16 match in Columbus and was injured. Kicked off the ball, out of bounds. Should have been a card. It wasn't. The only card was given to Leandro Gonzalez-Pires for dissent in the situation, and Barco hasn't played since. He's getting closer, but I think ultimately the way Atlanta functions best is to play through Barco and play to Pity Martinez. You want him on the end of things to either deliver the killer ball or create the goal or score the goal himself. And Barco is more of that 10 and that facilitator. Now, placement on the field could vary a little bit. We've seen Barco central. We've seen Pity central. At times, we've seen Julian Gressel central and Pity out wide on the right side. That's a work in progress, and I think that might change based off opponents as well. But ultimately, I think this team's at its best when it's Barco getting the majority of the touches and Pity's getting the crucial final touches.
So Another player I want to check on from College Station and Brian near our area, Breck Shea, obviously turned into a bit of a revelation, a serious injury. Now, who's the likely person that falls in line to try and commandeer the left back position?
That's the challenge that Atlanta United's facing right now.
Outside backs, right?
You don't have anybody. You don't have an exact option there, because on your depth chart, and I think Frank DeBoer's alluded to it multiple times this season, the starter coming in would have been George Bello, the young U.S. Youth International homegrown signing who debuted late last season. He played in the first CONCACAF Champions League match in Costa Rica, was injured, and we haven't seen him since. He's had surgery. He's probably a month plus out from rejoining the team. Breck Shea was your number two option on the depth chart, and he's played maybe more than they thought he would when they brought him in. I think he's had his good moments. He's had his rough moments. He's been about what you would expect as a number two left back in this team, an option off the bench. And now he's had the ACL injury, and he's out for the rest of the season. Mike Ambrose has been here from day one with Atlanta United, another Texas defender, and he's had injury issues over the last couple of years. He just returned from injury and would have come in for Breck Shea on Sunday in Seattle, but pulled his hamstring in training the day before. So he's questionable for tomorrow. We've seen Michael Parkhurst play left back, but Parkhurst has played a lot of minutes as of late, and he's looked a little shaky in moments in recent matches. You'd love to give him a day off, but there's really not a lot of options. And then what complicates it for tomorrow's match even more is on the right side, Franco Escobar is suspended due to yellow card accumulation, and you don't have an option there. Parkhurst can't play in two spots. I'm wondering if they'd return to three in the back and maybe go 3-5-2 this time around.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. If you're running out of defenders, you go back to a three-back system and you use lateral guys. Parkhurst, as you mentioned, has appeared in 17 games, 1,260 minutes, has been a big part of it there. Let's go back to Ezequiel Barco. And you said his value's gone up. How far away is he?
He's at least a week away, it's sounding like. He did make the trip to Seattle. He wasn't really in contention to be part of the 18, but he made the trip with the team. Usually when those things start to happen, you're pretty close. He has trained with the team, but the team has been very clear in that they're not going to rush Barco and Tito Villalba back. Both are injured due to contact injuries. It's not ligament issues. They were both kicked in different matches and have been out ever since. And there's no thought to rush them back for short-term gains, because Frank DeBoer and the technical staff are thinking about that long-term. It's hurting the team a little bit in the short term because you're having to figure out some different things. Thankfully, Justin Merrim has been one who stepped up in a big way. But you'd love to have Barco back, because I think the more he plays with this group, he starts to facilitate and get the best out of everyone around him.
Julian Gressel was outstanding last year. How's he been this year? And has his role been defined, or has he been moved around in differing areas?
He's been moved around, similar to what Tata Martino did with him, but it's been between central midfield and out on the right. He's played as a right wing back in the early going in the 3-4-3, played as a central midfielder, played as a 10, played as an 8, played as a right winger from time to time as well. He hasn't been quite as effective. Gressel's had some really bad luck over the last month. It seemed like every match he takes a knock early in it, and it affects him and his quality in the match. He's worked very hard, and I think you're seeing kind of that fighting spirit out of Julian Gressel. He wants to get things right, but at times just the quality and the sharpness hasn't been there consistently enough. I think the question is going to be for this team going forward is, what is the combination that gets the best out of all of those players around him, with Pitti, with Gressel, with Merrim, then with Barco and Villalba as they come back? And I'm wondering where Gressel fits. I think you're going to see some rotation, even centrally, with Emerson Heineman coming into the group now, and potentially Mo Adams, who was mentioned as a potential target.
Yeah.
It's going to get very complicated, and I think everyone will be fighting for spots, and it's going to get the best out of everybody, but it's also going to leave some players out from time to time.
Frank DeBoer, how's he been to work with, and what type of manager is he? Is he an inspirational leader to you?
You know, I really like Frank DeBoer. The more that he talks and the more that we get to hear from him, the more I like him. I really like the way he sees the game. I think it's very, very logical. I think there are some times where the language barrier, he speaks English, but it's not his first language. I think that complicates things from time to time. It's a very different personality than Tata Martino. And I think a lot of people had an impression that Tata Martino was a very vocal manager. And honestly, he wasn't. Tata Martino was not around as much with the players as Frank DeBoer is. And that's according to them. So it's a little bit different. I think just that personality difference has been a bit of a, some getting used to for everyone. And I think he's asked some different things and had some different expectations based off his experiences, and the players get used to it one way. I think it's gotten a lot better. And I think ultimately it will be for the best. I think DeBoer brings a ton of qualities to this club overall in the big, big picture of building an identity and taking the foundation that Tata Martino laid and finding another level with it, and also something that can be replicated through the academy. I think DeBoer's time at Ajax, both as a player and a manager, and playing at Barcelona will really help in that regard. But it's not something that happens overnight. And that's the issue that Atlanta United's in right now, is that you're defending a championship and all eyes are on you, but you are going through that transition.
Last one, we'll make this quick, too. With all the struggles in the outside back position, I would assume one of the big challenges and concerns for Atlanta United will be the wide game of the Houston Dynamo and the Hondurans, Ramel Kyoto and Albert Elise.
That's the biggest concern for me coming into it, because, you know, as we went through, you don't really have clear-cut options out wide, and you're going to have to take a gamble if you go either four in the back or three in the back, because you just don't have players who have a lot of experience on both sides. Julian Gressel's played as a right wing back, and he's played right back sparingly, so that's one that would feel a little logical. But on the other side, on the left side, you're probably going to turn to a winger. You're probably going to turn to a Justin Merrim or a Dion Pereira, a teenager from England, who's played a little bit of wing back in the USL Championship. You're probably going to ask them to have to defend an Albert Ellis, which is not what you want to do in your debut playing at left back or left wing back. But that's the situation Atlanta's in. And I think your previous question about Frank DeBoer being inspirational, he's going to need to be tomorrow night, because I think both teams come in kind of with backs against the wall. Houston maybe a little more so after recent results, but Atlanta, with the situation they're in and with the lineup that they're going to have to play, that'll be makeshift to a certain degree, you're going to need some inspiration. And if it comes from Frank DeBoer, that makes it easier. If it comes from a player or two on the field, if it comes from the leaders within this team, you're going to need that at home tomorrow night.
Yeah, there is no question. This time of the year, if you're getting injuries, you're struggling, like the Dynamo on the road, you need inspiration. It's got to come from a manager. It's got to come from players. And I think, to your point, that is one of the interesting aspects of tomorrow's game. Jason, as always, great stuff. Thank you so much for coming on. Make sure your dog gets fed tonight. And we'll talk to you again in the real near future.
Anytime. I'll make sure Gwen gets an extra treat tonight.
Jason, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks.
All right, Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, man, passionate about the game, knowledgeable, great stuff there. This makes this a very interesting game. And again, you can catch it on the Cube tomorrow, Cube 57, home of the Dynamo. Join Eddie Robinson and myself for the call of this one. Then we're going to go to this weekend's match as well, as the Dynamo will head to Toronto FC. That also on the Cube 57. That interview with Jason Longshore, brought to you by Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, in the Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 TVs, big screen, Houston Liverpool supporters group there. A lot of great guys over there, Matt Abel and Roger, all great guys. That is the spot for Liverpool. 7620 Katy Freeway, Hugh O'Connor's. We'll take a break.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're going to finish things up in a big way here tonight. Before we get to our final guest on the show, just a reminder, not only is Triangle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game day, they are giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. So you want to learn more how to do this? You text POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177, All you do is sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan. What you'll receive simply is this: 2 Dynamo game tickets, 2 t-shirts, and then you're automatically enrolled to enter to win free electricity for a year. Now, each time the Dynamo win a home game, Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a free year of electricity. That sounds pretty good. The Dynamo winning a lot of games at home. Again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. P-U-C-T, hashtag 10064. Now, our final guest here, tying into this weekend's match at Energy Stadium, International Champions Cup. We've got legendary Bayern Munich taking on Real Madrid. There's all kinds of events going on around us. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. But here is the legendary former Bayern Munich player, Lothar Matthäus, on this weekend's match between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Lothar, how important is it in this day and age of modern football for Bayern Munich to be in places like Houston, Texas, and play in these international tournaments in other countries for branding?
It's not only for branding. It's the same preseason for Bayern Munich after their holiday, and they have the chance to play in Houston against Real Madrid. It's one of the top games ever what I was playing in my long career. I played a couple of times against Real Madrid, and we can speak about a friendly game, we can speak about a preseason, but it's a tough game for the teams, for the coach, for the fans. And the preseason is a preparing for the season. It's the most important time to make great good results later. And for this, we are happy to have the chance to play against Real Madrid in Houston. We have another 2 games in Los Angeles and in Kansas City against Arsenal and against AC Milan. But I think the toughest game for Bayern Munich is the second game in Houston. And for this, we are very happy to have the chance to play far away from our country in North America, full stadium against the best team, club team from the last 5 years.
Lothar, what's one of your fondest memories from playing against Real Madrid?
I told you, two big clubs with a long history, 2 big clubs with a lot of titles, national titles, international titles, Champions League winners, World Cup winners in the team, and the same on the bench with Zinedine Zidane. It's a great name on Real Madrid. Niko Kovac has not this care like Zinedine Zidane, from Bayern Munich, but he has the same long life in the soccer business, like a national coach from Croatia, captain of the Croatian national team, player from Bayern Munich, and play another teams in the Bundesliga. And I think this club has a history. And I can tell you a nice story. I find it out 10 minutes ago. My last official game for Bayern Munich was on the 9th of March, 2000, and I played against Real Madrid. I won 4-1 in a Champions League game. One day later, I was moving from Munich to New York and played my last season in the MLS for the Metro Stars New York. This means Real Madrid and myself, we have a nice memory, especially for me. My last game in the stadium in Munich, official game for Bayern Munich, was against Real Madrid before I was moving to U.S.
By the way, I called some of your games on television when you were playing for the Metro Stars in Major League Soccer, so I remember your time here well. Bayern Munich was formed in 1900. For us here in the United States, that's hard to believe, maybe, how old the club is. How has the history and the tradition been kept alive so well by this club?
But I have to tell, we have another clubs in Germany that are older than Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is not the oldest club, but we have a long history, and Bayern Munich till today is the club who won the most championship titles in Germany, the most Champions League title for a German club team. And Bayern Munich has always the best player in the last 40, 50 years who was playing for the German national team. And when Bayern Munich played well, the national team was profited from this too. Bayern Munich has really a long, long story, and you need time to explain everything. But when a player from Germany has the chance to play for Bayern Munich, I think he will play for Bayern Munich, because a player likes to win titles, and the easiest way, and the toughest way too, it's to play for Bayern Munich and win titles.
We are talking to Lothar Matthäus ahead of Bayern Munich's visit this summer to Houston to play in the ICC against legendary Real Madrid. And, of course, Lothar is one of only three men in soccer history to have played in five World Cups. When you look at the game now, how much has it changed from the day you played it?
Especially the speed was changing. Is changing a lot in the last 15, 20 years. The organization from the team, the players play different systems. The players can play different positions. Many, many small things changing. But on the end, you have to score the goals. Then you win the games, and then you win the titles. But the game is much more faster than 20 years ago.
Let's talk about the current Bayern Munich and maybe some of the players we're going to see. We saw that Lucas Hernandez has just been signed from Atletico Madrid, a huge signing here with big money, a defender. What are some of your thoughts on the current Bayern Munich?
Bayern Munich is not satisfied to win only the nationals, and for this you have to invest in the team. And I think with Hernandez, we get a World Cup winner from France from last year. And he is a young player, he's a talented player, and I think he has high potential. And with this potential, maybe you can make your dream true to win the Champions League. And this is a title what Bayern Munich like to win every year. This year it's not anymore possible because Bayern Munich lost against Liverpool in the second round of the Champions League. But this was motivation enough to go. To invest money to buy a high level of player. And now in Bayern Munich, we have three French players who was winning the World Cup 8 months ago in Russia.
Yeah, the other one of the others, Benjamin Pavard. What are your thoughts on him, the defender?
Yes, it's the same like Hernandez. Pavard is playing in the Bundesliga by Stuttgart, and sure, Hernandez has more experience. And we have with Toulis another guy from France. He's now long time injured, and with this player, Bayern Munich will make attack to the English Premier League clubs and the Spanish clubs from Barcelona and Real Madrid in the next years to win the Champions League title.
We're talking to Lothar Matthäus, the legendary German captain. 90, Germany won the World Cup. He lifted the trophy as the captain. Do you think back on that moment a lot, Lothar? Because what a spectacular moment that was.
It was a very emotional moment. Especially where World Cup was in Italy, final was in Rome, and in this time I played for Italian club, for Inter Milan, and this was like a home World Cup for me in this moment. And sure, when you are the captain in a team who win the World Cup, and you get the World Cup from the president, from FIFA, and for your team, for your country, for your fans, was a very emotional moment, and I will never forget this moment till today.
Do you often reflect back on things in your career, or do you look ahead constantly? Because, you know, we've heard of so many footballers that end their career and they can never really replace it with anything, because there's nothing they feel can feel as good as playing at these high levels and being successful. How has that occurred for you post-playing career?
I know the career has sometime an end when you come in the age, and I was enjoying every day to go to the training. I was enjoying every day when I had a game with my team, and I was enjoying each moment till end of my career. But I'm still close to the soccer because I work for the DB, I write for the German newspapers, and I present Bayern Munich like an ambassador now in the summer tour for this ICC Cup. I present the German Football League and the German Football Federation. I'm very happy with life, and I will nothing change.
Lothar Matthäus joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We really appreciate the time, Lothar. When you transitioned into being a manager, how difficult was that? And how long did it really take for you to understand what a manager was about?
I was the captain in the team. And when you are a captain, you are mostly you think like a manager. And I was thinking about the tactic. I had conversation with my coaches, and I think this helped me later a lot to be a manager. And this was something different because you was this guy who has to care about everything, and this is only about the team. You have meetings with the manager of the players. You have the meeting with the sponsors. You have the meeting with the president, the owner of the club, with many things. You have to do more like a player. The player is coming to the training session, make his training 1-2 times per day for 1.5 hours. He gets advice what he has to do. But you have to plan everything in the details, and not only for your team. You have to look at another team. You have to plan the future, the young generation player, new player. You have to sell the player. It's a very, very tough job. And for this, I'm really happy for a coach when he has done the right results. These coaches are working from the morning till the evening. They are dreaming soccer in the night. I'm very happy for them when they make the results.
Lothar Matthäus joining us. Legendary career at Bayern Munich. Over 300 appearances. Bayern Munich will be in Houston to take on Real Madrid this summer, July 20th. Lothar will be in Houston. Lothar, have you ever been to Houston, Texas?
Never. And for this, I'm very happy to come to Houston on the 20th of July. Very, very happy to be. It's an honor for me, first, to be with Bayern Munich on this tour, and second, it's nice for me to see Houston. And for this, I love soccer so much because always you get a new experience, you can see something new. And I heard Houston is a beautiful city. Houston is a city where the people like soccer, especially the Mexican people. And I'm sure we will have a full stadium when we have our game on July 20 against Real Madrid.
Yeah, and you know what? We have a lot of Asians, Nigerians. We got communities from all over the world here that love the sport. And by the way,
yeah, but I hope they're supported by Munich, not Real Madrid.
Well, you know, I think they're gonna. I think you're gonna find some Germans finding their way down here. By the way,
okay.
Historically, a lot of Germans settled in the state of Texas and in and around Houston, and there are towns around Houston with very German names. So, no, don't worry. We got one or two German restaurants,
then,
too.
Then I will see the German and the Bayern Munich flags.
Yes. I'm going to make sure of that. I'll be the one guy in the upper deck waving it. No, we're gonna make sure. There'll be a lot of Bayern Munich fans here. I don't think any question because of the history of the club. One or two more questions, then we're going to let you go real fast here. Current German national team obviously has a lot of the great Bayern Munich players. Talk about what you saw in that 3-2 win over the Netherlands.
I'm very happy we have now a good result, not only a good game. Sure, it was not a great time for German football, for the German national team the last 8 months, especially the result during the World Cup make us upset. We cannot be happy with the performance of the team, but sometimes happen like this. But we forgive the player because I'm sure they will show something different in the future. We had a great result against Holland in the first qualification game for the European Champion 2020. And I think we have talented player, we have young players, we have players who play with passion. We have really good young players, and I'm sure soon they will make the result what we wish for the German football.
Lothar Matthäus, more German caps than anyone else, and he is... went on to 9 major international tournaments. Again, he captained the 1990 World Cup team. Anything else you want to say to Houston, Lothar, concerning Bayern Munich and the visit here this summer? So excited that this historic club is going to be in Houston.
I think when you love soccer, when you like soccer, when you're a fan of soccer, you have to watch the game on July 20 in the stadium in Houston between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, I will tell you, and you can trust me, will come with the first team. Everybody who is ready to play will be in Houston on the pitch.
Lothar, thank you very, very much for coming on the program here. We really appreciate your time, and thank you. And we look forward to your visit to Houston.
Okay, thank you very much, and we'll see each other soon.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to all our guests, all of you who listened in. A reminder, podcast at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. Don't forget, again, it's the big one this weekend. Real Madrid taking on Bayern Munich right here in Houston. Well over 50,000 tickets sold. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. Get out there, be a big part of that. Also, don't forget to tune in to our Dynamo broadcast tomorrow night, the Dynamo at Atlanta United. Go over to the Cube 57. That's where you can catch the home of your Houston Dynamo. Join Eddie Robinson and I for the call tomorrow. We're proud to bring you Houston Dynamo games. For Andrew Carlson, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.